Back to 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to start reading in verse 6, just for the context, give us a connection from last week, and then the text will be verses 17 to 24. First Corinthians 7:6. You remember the first section when Paul talked about husbands and wives. This last section from last week, Paul starts. He says, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the unmarried I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? And so we just came out of that section from last time, in which Paul specifically taught the Corinthian Christians, and we see in the last section there, who were in mixed marriages, to be content to stay in their marriages. And we see that's what he taught them, and not to leave the unsaved husbands or wives because they're unsaved. Why? Because as Paul wrote to the saved husband or wife, God has called you to stay, and he's called you who have been saved from your sins to stay right where you are so that you'd be a godly and sanctifying influence to the unsaved husband or wife, the unsaved spouse. And so you'd be a sanctifying influence and a witness for Christ, even to your children. And the Bible teaches, else were your children unclean. And so it shows that sanctifying influence of a saved spouse in a marriage where there is an unsaved spouse. And in many cases, unsaved children. And so Paul's basic theme there is abide there, stay there, don't jump ship. Now, in verse 17, there's a bit of a change of subject, but it's really along the same lines. Let's go ahead and read it. Paul says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be ye not servants of men, but let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." Let's pray. Father, help us in this short section of 1 Corinthians to understand your revealed will for us. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us in the faith of Christ. Father, help us in our own Christian walk. Father, our greatest desire is to magnify your name in our own personal lives, but also, Father, to show forth Christ in our own personal communities, Father, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Lord, help us, O God, to shine forth the light of Christ from our lives. And Father, we will give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So in verses 17 to 24, Paul's theme, I think, is understood in three verses here. Look at verse 17. He says, but as God hath distributed, that word distributed means assigned. So you could read that, but as God hath assigned to every man or woman, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Now look at verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So that's very similar to verse 17. Now go to verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. So you can see how all three of those verses are really saying pretty much the same thing. And so Paul's telling the Corinthians, abide and stay where you're at, child of God, where God has called you. Now, that doesn't mean, now, I believe he's talking about your earthly calling in your present circumstances. That's what he's talking about. But listen, that doesn't mean that God won't change your circumstances. But I think what Paul's not saying your circumstances will never change, your earthly circumstances. But I think what he's saying is don't jump ship. If your circumstances change, make sure God's changing them and not you. So don't jump ship from the place where God has called you. And he's teaching here contentment, to stay where you're at in your present circumstances. Remember, the scriptures teach that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, let's unpack verse 17 a little bit. He says, therefore, again, but as God hath distributed or assigned to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. That is in that calling. And he says, and so ordain I in all the churches. So I think the context, if we go back to the previous section, goes right along with what we just learned from the Apostle Paul in that previous section. But I also think that this teaches us something broader than just our marriage situations. Paul is teaching the Corinthians, and he's teaching us about godliness, again, with contentment as Christians and believers in our present circumstances, in life, in your own personal life. Yes, in marriage and in your family and with your children, but also in what God has assigned to you in your current earthly calling, in your job, in your status, in your position, where you live. God's called you to that place, and so be content with it. Now, listen, he's not teaching us to be content in a sinful situation, but he's calling us to be content providentially where God has set us. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Turn over there. Philippians 4 and verse 10. And so I think what Paul's teaching us, and I think we saw it in the previous chapter, Paul's telling the mixed marriages. He's teaching those that were married, they were saved, a saved husband married to a lost wife. He's saying, stay there. Be satisfied. That's where God's placed you. That's where your influence should be. So don't think, man, this is a bad situation. I wish my circumstances were different. No, no. God saved you and called you right where you're at to shine the light of Christ. And so that's what we should do, brethren. And so Philippians 4:10, the Apostle Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And then he says, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, I know how to live in whatever my circumstances are. And then he ends with this fantastic verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, i.e. right where I'm at, right in the place, God, where you've called me. Hebrews chapter 13, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13:5. the writer of the Hebrews letter says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be ye content with such things as you have, or be content with your current situation. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, that's where I want to be. I want to be in that place where I trust that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And I want to trust that God's put me right where I'm at in my life so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so, listen, we've all had those thoughts, haven't we? Looking back and saying to ourselves, if I would have just done this or that differently, I wouldn't be in my current situation. Not necessarily a terrible decision, but we might say, man, if this would have just happened, or if I just had this, things would be different. My current circumstances would be better. I'd have a better job. Things would be better. And we try and change where we're at, and we try and change the circumstances of our lives. No, beloved, listen. Don't try to jump ship from where you are. These are your present circumstances. This is your life, which God hath assigned to you. So walk by faith in God in it, right where you're at. Because where God has placed you, that's where your greatest influence is. Listen, God's called us to all different walks of life, different families, different neighborhoods, and God's distributed to every man as he hath assigned to us. You may, if you're looking at your life situation and your circumstances and you're not happy with it and you're grumbling, well, you're not content. And you're not content with where God's put you. And listen, that's what Paul's telling us, brethren. We need to be content where God's put us. He uses an example here. Look at verses 18. Go back to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18 to 20. He uses the Jews and the Gentiles here. In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 18, you can see verse 17 again. But as God hath distributed or assigned to every man, as the Lord hath called every one to different stations, different circumstances of life, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man, therefore, I add, abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So Paul here uses the example of both Jews and Gentiles who were seeking to change things about themselves, and they didn't need to be changed under the new covenant. It no longer mattered if any man was a Jew and uncircumcised. And it didn't matter if any man was a Gentile and uncircumcised. So circumcision and uncircumcision, Paul's teaching the Corinthians, and they were both Jews and Gentiles in the church at Corinth, he said, none of that matters anymore. So he's teaching them that. Let me show you some examples of passages that he wrote to the Galatians and the Colossians. Look at Galatians 3:26. Just to kind of drive this point home, Galatians 3 and verse 26. of Galatians. Paul says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. All meaning both Jew and Gentile. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Abraham's, if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you see no distinction. Now turn to Galatians 5, 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. This really more pointed toward what we just read in 1 Corinthians. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And then lastly, 6:15 of Galatians. 6:15. So Paul's telling the Corinthians, you don't have to change anything about yourselves. He brought this to the place of those that thought that they had to comply with certain religious convictions. Paul said, and circumcision was brought up because that, listen, we're very close to Old Testament Judaism, and Christ has just died and buried, was rose again, and now we're under the New Testament, the New Covenant. Paul says those things don't matter anymore. 6:15 of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But a new creature. Faith in Christ. That's what matters. And then Colossians 3:8. Just one more. The book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul says here, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. That's the important stuff. Here's the stuff that wasn't important. Paul says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What's important is, do you have faith in Christ? So bottom line, to both Jews and Gentiles, you are now one in Christ. You don't have to change anything about yourselves. But to both of you, he says, go back to 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And listen, this is written to us as well as to the Corinthians. You go back to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19, Paul says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. What's important, he tells them, is obedience to Christ, obedience to God. That's what's important. These other things don't matter. This is what matters. And listen, brethren, that's what matters to us. Not that we comply with someone else's religious convictions, their personal convictions, but that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, God is going to use you right where you are. So be content and live your Christian life in what and where God has assigned you. Now, verse 21 to 23, he goes from the religious to those that were servants. Verse 21, he says, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. What that means is, don't be concerned about that if you're a servant. And in this time, a slave is what it means. He says, don't be concerned about that. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. In other words, if you have that opportunity, by all means. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. He says, you might be a slave, but if you're saved, you're free. Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He says, likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be ye not servants of men. So, are you a servant? Paul says, don't be concerned about being a servant. Listen, if you're in Christ, you are the Lord's free man. If you're free, you're Christ's servant. So, to be in either case, in other words, if you're a servant and saved, or if you're a free man saved, in either case, you're in a perfect case because you're in Christ. You're a child of God. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31. John 8, 31. John 8, 31. So listen, status and station and circumstances in this world and among men does not matter. What matters is that are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? John 8, 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, and this caused quite a ruckus, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, brethren, that's the truest freedom that there is in the world. They talk about freedom in nations. Listen, this is the truest freedom there is to be free in Christ. He says, and they answered him, they said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. That's not what we want to be. That's not who we want to serve. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But again, brethren, being a servant of someone in this world, but being free in Christ or being saved from our sins, that's the truest freedom that there is. But what you don't want to be, again, and you heard the Jews say it here, you don't want to be a servant or a slave to sin. Turn over to Romans 6:16. Romans 6 and verse 16. So Paul says, if you're a servant, don't let that bother you. Are you in Christ? Then you're the Lord's free man, is what he tells them. So Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, Christian, he's talking to Christians, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You believe the gospel. Being then made free from sin, again, that's the greatest freedom there is, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, i.e. servants of Christ. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, that's the past tense, that's when you were lost, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's a bad freedom. Being free from righteousness. If you're a servant of sin, that's a bad freedom. You're free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so right after, go back to 1 Corinthians, right after Paul speaks to those that are servants, and he says, don't worry about changing anything. It's okay if you're a servant. Don't let that bother you. And he says, he that's called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that's called being free is Christ's servant. And then he says, listen, you're bought with a price. So you belong to Christ. He says, so be ye not servants of men. So he's not telling them to disobey men. He's not telling them to disobey their masters. But what he's telling them is, though you serve under men in this life, remember that you ultimately serve Christ. And therefore, don't regard yourselves to be servants or slaves of men, but servants of Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter who we serve in this life. We're all servants to someone. Ultimately, Paul's teaching us, be a servant of Christ, first and foremost. And when you obey your earthly masters, obey them as if you're obeying Christ. Look at Ephesians, two passages, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:5, listen, this will help us out in the world, brethren, where we should have really a good testimony as servants of God. Listen, we should be the best servants in our places of employment, in whatever we do, in our homes, with whomever we serve. Ephesians 6, verse 5, Paul says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. With fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. See that? Sincerity of your heart. With fear and trembling. Why with fear and trembling? Because in serving your earthly master, you're really serving Christ. He says, not with eye service. Everybody knows what eye service is, right? You do it so everybody and you do it so everybody can see you doing it. But when nobody's watching you do it, you don't do it. So don't do it with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And it is the will of God from the heart that you be obedient to your earthly masters with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So though you're serving your master and you ought to serve him best because you do it as unto Christ. And he says, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, Colossians 3:22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Colossians 3:22 teaches us, again, Paul speaking to the church at Colossae, along the same lines as what he taught Ephesus, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Whatever you do, for whoever you do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons, that is, in judgment. And so, listen, beloved, when we serve our earthly masters, how bad of a testimony when we're rebellious and disobedient and we don't want to do what they say. It really reflects upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brethren, we need to make sure that we remember that we're servants of Christ. We're bought with a price. So we don't serve men. We ultimately serve Christ. And now back to 1 Corinthians 7. We'll close this up. 1 Corinthians 7. I like to read this text once again now that we've gone through it. 7:17. Remember, three different times Paul says the same thing so that we understand the emphasis here. He says, but if God hath distributed or assigned to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so, and look, all of our callings are different, our earthly callings. So let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Well then, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Well, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but obedience to Christ is everything. See, but the keeping of the commandments of God, that's what matters. And then verse 20, that second iteration of Paul's emphasis of verse 17, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Listen, whatever circumstances you're in, where God has called you, don't jump ship. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Learn to be content with your station, with your situation, with your job, where God has called you. He says, art thou called being a servant, care not for it. Or don't be concerned about that. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. That's the pinnacle of this thing. We must remember, whatever our circumstance in life, we serve the Lord Christ. You may say, I'm not a servant of men. We're all servants of men in some respect. But the scripture says, if we're in Christ, we're the Lord's free man. There's no greater freedom than that. Then he says, listen, we're all Christian. You're bought with a price. We all are. Be ye not servants of men, but serve Christ, brethren, in all that you do. And in verse 24, again, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, in your present circumstances, in the house you live in the job you have, in everything. Go back to the previous section in your marriage. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, you go back to that previous section with the lost husband and the saved wife, or the saved husband and the lost wife. Don't leave, he says. You are to be that sanctifying influence. You are to be that powerful witness for Christ. Well, what knowest thou, O wife, or O husband, whether thou shalt save thy lost husband or wife? And so that's what we are to be. And brethren, whatever place you're at in your own personal life, you are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in that place. So don't try and jump ship on God's providence. God has you where he wants you. Now, again, you shouldn't be in a place where you're committing sin or you're living a sinful life. Yes, those things need to be repented of. But in where God has you in your own personal lives, you need to be content there. Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, I have learned that in any state that I'm in, therewith to be content. And he says in Philippians, godliness with contentment, that is great gain. Listen, that's where we all have to live, brethren. And I think that's the sense of what Paul's saying here in this section of 1 Corinthians 17. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you for this section of 1 Corinthians. Father, I pray that we would be shining lights, examples, Father, for the lost and even for the saved, in our calling where you've called us, Father, in our station, in our circumstances, Father, and where you have us personally in our own lives. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us to not be, help us not to speak in discontentment or to grumble, Father, about our situation, because when we do that, Father, we dishonor you. And so help us, Heavenly Father. Help us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Father, to be content with such things as we have, and even in our current situation. Father, we ask that you'd bless your people. Father, I ask that your rich blessings and your grace would be upon each of these precious souls as we go to our homes. And we want to give you all the glory and the honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.